You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
The NFL is disgusting me and making me somewhat proud at the same time. And I'll explain why in just a moment. We have so much over the next 3 hours at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Later in the show, of course, it's Friday night, so that means beat the fat man. We also have Aaron Rodgers to get to and why he is being wronged and how we really found out about that last night. We have Bryce Harper and Nolan Arenado backing up Blake Snell, which they are right to do. And DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar remain, quote, at large for the moment. But let's start with the NFL. Now, if you missed the story today, Jim Trotter on NFL.com broke the story that the NFL is considering incentivizing minority head coach and GM hires. And they're going to vote on a resolution next week when they have their virtual meetings. Now, I want to read you a Roger Goodell quote that's at the beginning of Trotter's story that came from back at the Super Bowl where he had his annual State of the Union in reference to hiring both African-American and minority head coaches and minority GMs. Here's the quote. Clearly, we are not where we want to be on this level. We need to change. We have already begun discussing those changes, what stages we can take next to determine better outcomes. Keep in mind, right now, you have four minority head coaches for 32 teams, two minority general managers out of 32 teams, and 70 to 75% of the players in the league are minorities. Let all of that sink in. If you need to think of it in terms of percentages, 12% of the head coaches in the league are minorities, and roughly 7% of the GMs in the league are minorities. So the league is proposing the following. Number one, removing the ability to block position coaches from interviewing for coordinator positions with other teams around the league, because it is truly a promotion. All assistant coaches had been classified as just that, assistant coaches. And if you were under contract with one team, they could deny your ability to go and interview for a coordinator job somewhere else. And the thought process behind that is, as you elevate to a coordinator, it gives you a better opportunity to become a head coach, because so many head coaches come from being coordinators. That is a great idea, and it makes perfect sense. But then it goes a little bit further. If you hire a minority head coach, after his first season, headed into his second season, you can actually jump six spots in the third round of the draft prior to that second season. If you hire a primary football executive, as in a GM, you could jump 10 spots before that second season. If you hire both, potentially 16 spots. So you could move from the third round into the second round if you hire a minority head coach and general manager. And if you keep them for a third year, wow, you get a fourth round pick that could jump five spots. This is what we have come to. This is an unfortunate, and I'm using air quotes here, necessity, not to actually happen, but to make the point. And I think Roger Goodell is making this public in advance of these meetings very much on purpose. I don't even know if this vote is even necessarily going to take place. I actually think Roger Goodell, in this instance, is doing it to embarrass the owners into understanding how bad they have been at minority hiring. I'm going to give him the credit for that. Let's not forget, even as poorly as he has handled PR as commissioner, PR was his background. And in this instance, when you have had the Rooney Rule since 2003, and it continues to prove to be ineffective, you have to do the drastic things. Think about that for a second. You're incentivizing hiring minority coaches and general managers. At the same time, insulting minority candidates for coaches and general managers. Wait, the only way I can get a job is if you're going to get your draft picks improved? You need incentives to hire me? And as embarrassing as that is, it has come to this. And if you don't think that's true, you are out of your mind. And I've got examples for you. Think about this. These are two stories that I have heard, and they've been confirmed. I'm not going to give you teams. I'm not going to give you any of the specifics involved. But know these two stories about head coaches that were hired. The first one was a candidate that was a, let's put it this way, a public outcry to hire this candidate. It was somebody that the fan base of that particular team felt like, coming from where he was coming from, it would be a home run hire. And the team was very much interested in winning the press conference. The candidate walked into the interview, basically had a high school notebook, and was so bad in the first few minutes of the interview, the interviewer stopped asking questions. Why? He didn't want more reasons to not hire the guy. Because the public sentiment was that this was the guy and they were going to go and win that press conference. We want to hire you. Stop talking and showing your ignorance. Think about that. That's number one. And the guy got the job. And he didn't last. Number two, the old boys club factor, okay? One head coach in the league at one point had a assistant coach that for personal reasons he had to get rid of. That assistant coach was causing problems internally and between families. And with that in mind, this head coach had to get rid of him. And at the end of the season, there were other head coaching candidacies, head coaching positions that were open. So the head coach who had to get rid of the assistant recommended him to an owner. This particular head coach had a sterling reputation. Recommended him to an owner for his head coaching job because he had to get rid of him. That owner hired him. And he was basically a lock from the beginning. So it wasn't because he was qualified. It wasn't because he was ready for the job. It was because they had to get rid of him. So let me recommend him for another head coaching position. And that owner took that man's word as freaking gospel right out of the gate. Well, if he says it's the guy, it's the guy, and we're hiring him. That's how some of these things work. As screwed up as that is, that's how some of these things work. So if you have a group of owners who are just a bunch of old men who are stuck in their ways and sticking to the old boys club, sometimes you have to use embarrassment and force to get them to start to do the right thing, or at least consider doing the right thing. The Rooney Rule, unfortunately, has just become one of those things where candidates come in, they interview, maybe they get experience out of the interview for the next time they interview, but ultimately, So many times, these minority candidates go in knowing they're not getting the job because of everything that's been flying around speculatively in the public and in the press. They know. Think about this for a minute. You have 32 NFL franchises, the youngest of which is 21 years old. You have nearly 40% of those franchises, 12 of the 32, nearly 40% have never hired an African-American head coach. It's wrong. It's beyond wrong. And we can talk all you want about qualified candidates and people shouldn't get the jobs because of their race. Absolutely, in an ideal world, that's true. But there is no question that minority candidates are not getting fair opportunities. They walk into a lot of these interviews in both situations, and minds have already been made up. And here's the other thing. The league is also having noticed that 23 of the last 32 head coaching hires have come from offensive backgrounds, quarterback coaches or offensive coordinators, that if you hire an African American to be a quarterback coach, you can get a compensatory fourth round pick. If you lose an African American assistant to go be a coordinator somewhere else, you get a compensatory pick to ease that burden because you wouldn't let him go and interview in the first place. It's embarrassing to me that it had to come to this point, but I want to believe that this story got out there before next week so that the owners would finally realize what a complete embarrassment they have been when it has come to minority hiring. Unfortunately, it is an insult to minority candidates that teams would have to be incentivized to hire them. That's a remarkable insult. I'm hoping more than anything that it's just a ploy to make a point, and that these old guys, these old billionaires who own these teams and are printing money, start to actually open their minds and give more minority candidates opportunities. It's an utter embarrassment that it hasn't happened. 800-919-3776. Your calls on that. We get to everything else later on. We'll get you the latest on the DeAndre Baker situation down in Florida. All of it there. But I'm as thoroughly aggravated about this as possible, because just think about how insulting that is to minority candidates, that you actually have to incentivize them and improve draft picks to get people to really consider hiring them. Wow. Wow. In one way, I applaud Roger Goodell because I think he's doing it to make this point. If it's real, it scares the hell out of me. But it's almost a necessity at this point. As scary as that is, as poorly as these owners have handled it. Wow.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
800-919-3776. Let us start with Eddie in Rockland County, up first tonight on Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, Big Chris, what's happening?
How you doing?
I don't really, care about this incentive thing. It's kind of stupid. My point is, can you tell me 10 all-pro players that come from great teams that are African-American that went into the coaching industry? I can name 10. Jerry Rice could be a coach. Ronnie Lott can be a coach. Emmitt Smith can be a coach.
Well, frankly, some of them want to be coaches. Some of them don't, and that's for all players. Some players want to be coaches, some don't. James Lofton has gone into coaching. Art Schell is an all-time great offensive lineman and was a pretty good head coach.
Right, but if you look at the commentary, there's tons. It's changed. How many African Americans are in there? They can do it if they want to do it. That's my point. Like, there's no reason why Willie McGinnis cannot be a coach, but Grable can. There's no difference between the two. It's if you want to do it.
No, I mean, listen, I think that depends on, you know, whether or not they identify well with players, whether or not they connect well, they're good at game planning, all the different things that go into it. The point is, if you're saying that there's no difference between them, it also depends on how qualified they are and how their mind works. You know, it doesn't matter if it's who's up against who, what race is up against who. The point is, the opportunities are not coming for minorities, and that's where the problem is.
Right, but if there's opportunities on the field, there's opportunity in the commentary booth. If you want it, it's there. The problem is the all-pro player from the big high coaching trees aren't going into coaching.
I don't think that's the problem. See, I don't think that's the problem, and thanks for the call. I think the problem is more that minority coaches as assistants are not getting enough true opportunities to become head coaches or to become general managers. And how many just all-pro players, period, do we see that actually make good GMs or good head coaches? They're not many. Ozzie Newsome was one. John Lynch has done a pretty good job. John Elway? Not really. There have been a lot of times where great players did not make good coaches. It doesn't have to do with the quality of player that they are. It has to do with their ability to lead a team. John in West Babylon, next on 98.7 ESPN. John.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, pal?
Good. How are you?
I got to tell you, really, it's ridiculous that we're even talking about this in this day and age. And I'm with you. It's sad that, you know, if that's what it takes to embarrass the owners, well, then maybe this is what it takes. You know, and I mentioned this to your producer before I got on. You know, you hear so many things in sports about, well, this guy is doing steroids and the integrity of the game. Well, when you peel this back like an onion, doesn't it get to the bottom line that this is also kind of tainting the integrity of the game if you're hiring GMs or coaches that really are not the best candidates because of the skin color, that you're taking away from possibly putting the best product on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. And think about that one story I told you. A coach that got hired because publicly he was the guy that all the fans wanted, not knowing a damn thing about the guy and his ability to interview or lead a team. And they actually had to stop the interview because they didn't want to hear him talk anymore because he was showing his ignorance in being a head coach. But they knew if they hired him, the fans would be thrilled.
And here's the one thing about that whole fandom issue. Chris, you know as well as I do, you know, you've been in the sports world for years. If you win, fans are going to come see you. And so, yeah, the owner might think, oh, well, my brand might take a hit because I'm going to hire a minority and it might hurt my fan base. Well, not so much. If you're getting the best candidate possible, if you're winning, the seats are going to be filled.
Look, there's no question that if you're winning, your seats are going to be filled, John. And thanks for the call. I don't think owners are thinking their brand is going to take a hit if they hire a minority coach. I just think they're not opening their minds up enough. And so many times when they go into these searches, they already have their minds made up beforehand because they've been told who the guys are. They've been told by consultants and all these other people who have absolutely no skin in the game and are collecting thousands of dollars in checks as consultants to tell you what you already know. It's 100% true with a lot of consultants, and I've never understood search firms, things like that. Go find the candidate, do your work, and you'll be able to figure it out. Maybe a search firm can vet a guy, but you don't even necessarily need that. 800-919-3776. Omar in East Brunswick is next. Omar.
Hey, Carlin, how you doing?
Good, bud. Go ahead.
Okay, I think, like you said, I'm upset that it's come to this and that the NFL, Roger Goodell, has to make this stance. But I really like it. Like you said, obviously the Rooney Rule wasn't working at all. I'm not sure how long it was in place for, but obviously it didn't really look like
it. The Rooney Rule has been in place since 2003.
Yeah, and that really, it doesn't look like it's worked at all. So I was kind of hoping that they would make a change. Make it like that. It's real. I mean, it shows up dark, the dark area for the owners and for with the situation. And if you just look at one of the most recent examples, the one that really bothers me the most is Eric Bieniemy, because he is a proven OC for years with under Andy Reid. All of Andy Reid's OCs has turned out to be okay to good coaches. You know, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson. So he has a good tree. Eric Bieniemy should have had a head coaching job by now. Every year
there's
he
no
is
doubt. And when they talk about hiring offensive guys and guys who are offensive coordinators, and then Eric Bieniemy gets left out this year. I mean, how does that work exactly? You know, he was one of the top candidates on the entire market this offseason, yet somehow doesn't get a job. And I know that the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, and I know there's stuff around that. Whether or not you have to make that's the other part of this, too. That can't be an excuse anymore. The timing of it cannot be an excuse anymore.
That's unbelievable, too. They find every excuse in the book, and they hire the Green Bay. They hire Matt LaFleur, who had a bottom-of-the-league offense as the offensive coordinator. Meanwhile, Eric Bieniemy, OC, who has had a top-five-ranked offense in the league every year, and you can argue, obviously, Andy Reid has input, but you know who designs the play and who talks to the quarterback the most? That is Eric Bieniemy. And there's no doubt in my mind that if he was, you know, if he was another skin color, there's no doubt he would have been hired right now. Because you see all these popular OCs getting hired, you know. Zach Taylor is getting hired. LaFleur is getting hired. All because of the genius offense. Well, you know who has a genius offense? Andy Reid. And you know who runs up with him? Eric Bieniemy. And it's a disgrace that he doesn't have a job as a head coach in the NFL. And all you hear is, oh, he can be a great head coach. Well, why don't you hire the guy? Oh, you know why? Because the one problem is, you know, the skin. And that's messed up because he's been proven as a good guy, as a leader in the locker room, and a very smart person. And you see all these NFL teams hiring who? I mean, the Giants hired Joe Judge. Nobody had an idea. And I know they might have wanted to go another way. I get that. But I top of my head, I don't even think they interviewed Eric Bieniemy. And if you don't think Eric Bieniemy can help Daniel Jones for at least an interview, then that is a sign right there. And so I was just done with my rant. Love your show, Colin. Have a great day.
All right, Omar. Thanks. Understandable. Understandable on this. You know, the fact that Eric Bieniemy didn't get a job is just ridiculous. And the fact that Roger Goodell has to do this to assist minority candidates. I mean, hopefully it embarrasses the owners to get them to understand just how dumb they have been and not considering minority candidates more. And my problem is always this. They go into these, quote, searches already knowing who they want to hire. Already knowing. So, if that's what it takes now to get African Americans more of a chance, Well, great. I guess that's a good thing. But my point is, it shouldn't. And at some point, these old rich guys have to wake up. It's not right.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Carlin, 800-919-3776. You heard where I stand on this. I think it's atrocious that it actually has to come to this, that minority candidates are not getting enough of an opportunity at legitimate interviews and head coaching jobs and GM positions, that now we're talking about having to incentivize the hiring of minority coaches. It's remarkable that it's come to that point, but part of me applauds Roger Goodell if this is, frankly, just a way to embarrass the owners into realizing just how poorly they have operated in this regard. AJ in the Bronx. AJ, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to say I find it totally ironic that we're talking about this right now. And if you think about it, some of your callers are indicative of what the NFL owners are. Like, if you think about the calls you've been getting and the questions, like what indicates
what constitutes a minority?
Yeah,
I understand. Absolutely. I get
about,
it. Yeah.
Think about the stupidity and the ignorance coming from some of your callers, right? Now that translates to what these NFL owners, because I'm pretty sure the guys who asked those questions were 60 and 60 something, and it's like the total ignorance. You could tell a black guy, like, I'm black. You could tell from my voice I'm black. I walk into a room, I'm a black guy. You're not gonna say, is that a black guy? You know, like, come on, man. Like, it's... this rule is stupid. I hate this rule. It's an embarrassing rule. It doesn't need to happen. Something else needs to happen. It's really embarrassing. I'm not for anybody getting pushed through and passed through. I'm for the best man wins. But something else needs to happen because in the league where black people dominate, and I'm talking about dominate, other than quarterbacks and guards and stuff, black people dominate the sport. But yeah, when it comes to coaching and using our brains and leading, we're not good enough. But when it comes to tackling, catching, and running a 4-2, 4-3, yeah, let's get all the black guys. That's something is wrong. Something is wrong with that. And I'm so glad you see it, but there needs to be more people like you and of your age who see it too. And that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing, oh, the population is 14%. And then, no, the NFL is not 14% black. It's 80% black.
And I hate to put it this way, and please understand that in no way am I patting myself on the back here. When you said more people of my age, more importantly, more people, more white people.
I listen to you.
Yeah, I'm saying
I know you're not. That's not
no. But what I'm saying is, when you say more people of your age, more people of my race, more white people need to say those things, because things don't change until those are the people that actually change them.
It's just and I'm listening to your show. I enjoy listening to your show, but some of your callers, man, they just, and I'm just sitting there like, see, this is exactly what you're talking about. Your callers are the owners. Your callers are exactly the owners. It goes in one
some
area
of them
out
are.
The other.
Some of them.
It's embarrassing.
I'm not gonna generalize on all of them, but yes, you're right. There are people in society that have this philosophy. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's a problem. It's a big problem. We've taken steps over the years. We need to take more. And the fact that it's not seen by the people who are in charge, the old guys with the billions of dollars who have their minds made up going into a job interview already, what's the point? Steve's in Detroit. What's up, Steve? You're up next on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for taking my call, Carlin.
You got it.
Maybe I found the way for people to rationalize what the NFL is doing. And, like, nowadays, you know, with the Me Too movement and, like, you know, women in general, there's initiative for women in leadership. You know, it's like the old boys club, and people don't have a problem with that because everybody got a mother. Everybody, you know, probably got a sister. And it's easy to see, you know, men how should I say, men in like corporations, it's a click. And in order to move up in the, you know, position, which I don't see in the NFL, like Lewis, the GM, analyst on your station, Lewis Riddick, he was interviewed for the Giants job, and I believe he's very talented, but until there's an owner that sees, you know, like, what he can do and give him that chance without the backlash from a certain segment of, like, the population, there'll be no way.
Let me ask you this question. Genuinely, I don't know the answer to it. Is there going to be backlash for hiring Lewis Riddick? Are we in that bad of a situation right now? Or is it just that they're listening to the guys in the old boys club who are telling them who to hire? Or let's talk about the Giants for a second, right? They went back to what they know when it came to Dave Gettleman. How's that working out for you?
That's terrible, but when you say, like, is there going to be backlash, I just view it as Cam Newton in Carolina. Like, he's a very good quarterback. He's a free agent right now, and he don't have a job when we got Nick Foles and, you know, people like that.
I'll play devil's advocate on that one for a second, Steve, because Dan Graziano from ESPN has an excellent column on that very topic this week, and he kind of lays out why Cam doesn't have a job right now, and a lot of it seems to be medical, because we're in the position that we're in, and Cam has had the injuries that he's had that he hasn't gotten that opportunity yet because teams don't know what they're signing physically at the moment.
I hear that, but just the Lewis Riddick part, I just think there will be a shorter leash for, you know, minorities. And RG3, I think, you know, in the beginning of his career, he was good. He, you know, what happened, the injury, you can't hold that against him. But it was just Kirk Cousins. But I just feel like minorities get a shorter leash, and unless they're with a corporation or, you know, a team that can actually hear these callers who are calling in saying, oh, you know, what constitutes a minority? Anybody who is not Caucasian, like, I'm Asian. There's barely Asian coaches in the league. Like, the NFL is trying to broaden up their audience to America. America is just not this one, like, I'm just getting frustrated just thinking about it. It's just,
no, I understand. Listen, but it's a great discussion, and I appreciate the call, Steve. I think all the points you're bringing up are fair points. I think they are. And I can't pretend to have lived that life. I grew up very fortunate in a lot of ways. But when you see what is clearly an injustice, I don't understand why nothing comes along to really force change or invoke change. And so now you have to go this far to do it. Now there are, listen, there are incentives in other cases too. Okay, as you were talking about, or maybe it was the caller before, about women and such. I don't think incentives are good in any situation, because that to me is a level of insult to the candidate that we should never have to get to. But in a league that is 75% minority, to have four head coaches out of 32 is staggering. Blue is in Nashville up next. Blue, what's up? You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to this, and I do agree with one of your previous callers that I don't know if you realized it, but somebody actually said in response to this topic, you're going to actually hire someone, African-American, for their race? And it's like, are you actually saying that out loud? And then what I mean by that is,
am I saying it?
No, I'm saying the gentleman who called
okay.
in.
Okay, yeah.
But he's making the point, you know. That people
exactly.
Because of their race, and I thought that was very funny. I'm somebody who at one point hired people. I worked for the federal government. There are incentive positions in the federal government. You can only apply if you're a veteran. You can only apply, but they don't talk about minority status. I think the whole facility has to have X amount of minorities. But the point I'm making is this. When I knew somebody and I knew they worked well and they were a good employee somewhere else and somebody vouched for them, that's invaluable when you're hiring somebody. And so I am not on the owner's side in this, but I'm just talking about the process. And it's hard to reach out of your comfort zone, and my comfort zone being, say, somebody on paper looks great, right? But I know for a fact this other person, you know, I've actually been alongside them and know them, or had some very, very, very trusted person tell me that. It's hard to step out of that. And I, as an employer, I would have a hard time stepping out of that. But there's a lot more data that the NFL owners have, and information and tape and stuff that they can see on how somebody performs. But when there's a candidate that you know, or that somebody very close to you that you trust gives you some information about, this, that this person's going to be great, it's hard to go away from that. But
no, you know, I understand that, but what I'm talking about is trying to keep the playing field as level as possible. Sure, somebody's word or somebody saying, stepping in and giving you their opinion on somebody, that can go a long way to help somebody make a decision on hiring. But at the same time, thanks for the call, I think that when it comes to these positions, like, that so clearly has been the norm. You know, they hire these firms in college, these search firms, and even in the pros sometimes, identify the top coordinators, the guys who are for these jobs. It's not hard to figure it out. And, I mean, for instance, I go back to Mike Tomlin, who was not somebody that was a favorite to get the Pittsburgh job, but he blew them away in the interview. And they had an open mind about what they were going to do. That can happen. So when I hear stories about a GM basically telling a candidate to shut up because I don't want to hear how dumb you are, we're hiring you because you're who the fans want, I mean, that's frustrating.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
There has been no indication as of yet that they have either turned themselves in or that they will be turning themselves in, or how that works. I actually reached out earlier to the police department down in Miramar, Florida, and asked, you know, how long is it after an arrest warrant is issued that someone has to turn themselves in or will be arrested? In other words, how long can they be out and free? And I was told it's a case-by-case issue. There's no specific time frame. There are a lot of factors to be considered, but would not offer any specifics in regards to the case. So there you have that. That's the latest there. 800-919-3776. The entire show tonight has been dedicated to the NFL. Earlier today, a story leaking out courtesy of Jim Trotter on NFL.com that on Tuesday, the league is going to propose that owners vote on the potential of incentivizing even further, I'm saying that right, I hope, the hiring of minority coaches and GMs, head coaches and GMs, by improving draft position in the third, fourth, fifth round, depending on how long minority candidates or minority coaches and GMs actually stay in place. It's really remarkably insulting to minority candidates. And at the same time, we had Herm Edwards on earlier, who was talking about it basically is taking a step backward. Here he is.
Well, it's a little bit, it's embarrassing, to be quite honest. If the league has to do that, then that's we've taken a step backwards. And I can say that as a former player and a coach coming in the league in 1977, there was only 8 men of color that were coaching in the league. There was 28 teams. And then from there, it kind of picked up. And now we're sitting in a spot to where everyone's scratching their head, trying to figure out there's two men of color that are GMs, four head coaches now.
Amazing. Amazing that that's the case. Amazing. Eli in Newark is up next. Eli, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Good. How are you?
All right. First things first, all the best to you, your family, friends, and loved ones, everybody at the end, and matter of fact, to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to love Herm Edwards. That brother speaks with conviction when he speaks. You know, I'm with him 100%. But as far as, the fight and the struggle continue. Can't give up. You can't. And I think one of these owners is going to have a Branch Rickey moment, if that's possible, knowing that he's going to get some flack from his the other good old boys. That's got to happen. And but again, the fight and the struggle continue. You have to. You can't give up. You know?
I know just from the outside how it must be incredibly frustrating, but I can't begin to understand what seeing that as a candidate, as an African-American candidate to be a head coach or a GM, what that must feel like, you know, for those candidates that are in those positions and to know that these are what the numbers are and they actually have to incentivize this with draft picks now. It's gotten so bad in the league.
Well, the thing about that Rooney Rule, that's just a check the box and going to the next box. That's all that is. You know, and it's disheartening. I'm like, well, what the hell do I got to do? What do I got? Well, I can't turn white. What do I got to do?
and as Herm said, once you interview a few times, people start to say, why hasn't he gotten a job yet?
Yeah. But, hey, it is what it is for now. But the fight and the struggle continues. You got to say you have to.
Appreciate the phone call, Eli. Thanks for checking in. How about Andrew up in Stanhope, New Jersey? Andrew, what's going on?
Yeah. You're like a wizard talking about this because I always knew you were smart, but your ability to articulate and like show both sides, it's extremely impressive. And I agree with everything you say. And I agree too with Herm Edwards that it is insulting. But the only thing, like I would disagree, like you pointed out, if that leads to more African-American hires, and then they become head coaches, and they're going to be picked because they're qualified. They're not going to be picked just for draft choices, so they're still picking qualified coaches. So that's like the one little thing that I disagree with.
I just and hope like it doesn't said, actually yeah. get to the point where they actually vote that in. Because think about that for a second, right? If they actually vote that to be a rule, what does that say about the owners themselves?
You're right.
Think about that. What does it say? We are remarkably dumb. We can't handle hiring more qualified African-American coaches.
And the caller that said Herm Edwards wasn't qualified. So, I mean, he's totally qualified.
There aren't many who are more qualified to talk about it than Herm Edwards.
And I just want to ask you about the Rooney Rule, the last caller. But I think there was a coach, I forget if it was with Detroit, but he interviewed for a defensive back coach and they gave him the head. But I don't think that's such a bad idea because they are getting exposure. You know, it kind of works both ways. You could say,
as Herm was talking about, the Rooney Rule, you know, for a while was effective. And you actually would see guys that might not have gotten a look before get opportunities. And it wasn't right that they weren't getting a look, but a guy like Mike Tomlin, when Pittsburgh hired Mike Tomlin, he was not the favorite to get the job, but he went into the room and blew them away and convinced them that he was the right guy. Thanks for the call, Andrew. And as it turns out, he's been right. They've had a lot of success under him. Some would argue not as much success as they should, but they've won a Super Bowl with him, and they've been to another one with him. So I think that's qualified as being successful. As a Steelers fan, frankly, I wish he'd won a little bit more because I think there have been some things that haven't gone right. But at the same time, I mean, you can't argue with that being right in terms of the opportunity that he got and making the most of it. And that's the other thing that we don't necessarily talk about, right? A few years ago, and this is a completely different situation, but it's similar in that I've heard people talk about nepotism and how guys get opportunities. Well, there was a guy that I was working with who was the son of a famous broadcaster. And he was getting an opportunity because of who he was. And somebody was knocking him on Twitter about it. And this guy was talented, absolutely talented. And this guy was knocking him on Twitter saying why he got the job. And he's like, well, he should call into the show. We could argue with him about, you know, that's not why I got the job. And I turned to him and I said, well, that is why you got the job in this instance, because you were so-and-so's son. There are plenty of other guys who were out there who were of your ability level and easily could be doing this. You're not superior to any of them. You know, there are guys that you're better than. You're good at this. But you got the job because you are his son. At this point, though, you got the job. So what matters now is what you do with the opportunity. You owe it to everybody else who sits there and tells you that that's why you got the job to go and make the most of it. You know, I think of Joe Buck, and I read Joe Buck's book. I should say I listened to the audio book, because I feel cheap when I say I read something, but I listened to the audio book. When it turned out I listened to the audio book, but I listened to that entire audio book. And I was impressed with Joe because he always had to deal with that from his father. But to me, Joe Buck has taken that opportunity and has run with it. And he's an incredible broadcaster who works exceptionally hard. There are people who get opportunities that others don't. But the way you can respect those people is if they go and do the most with it. That's always going to be the case. It's always going to be the case. What I don't like is when you have a situation that is so skewed in one direction. 70% to 75% of African Americans make up the NFL. And 12% are coaches, head coaches. How does that even remotely make sense? Are you telling me there aren't more than 4 qualified African Americans to be head coaches in the NFL? College football, as Herm alluded to, it might even be worse. It might even be worse. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. You don't give somebody a job because of their skin color. What you do is make sure that it's a level playing field when it comes to the opportunities. And then you see what those people, all your candidates, do with the opportunity to interview. And you rate them fairly. You don't go in with your mind made up, which is what happens in the NFL in 90% of the cases.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.